looking for an awesome place to host your draft party? Look no further than Hooters. With tons of TVs, free Wi-Fi, world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer, you're probably thinking, it doesn't get any better than that. But wait, at Hooters, it does. Every fantasy league gets a free draft kit and over $200 in Hooters swag. Join us for fantasy football, done Hooters style. Book now at Hooters.com/football. That's Hooters.com/football. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and yes, it is presented by Hooters. For those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area, again, go to originalhooters.com and search on Tampa Bay. You can find the closest to you of the 11 locations. Of course, we, last Sunday night, had our largest ever fantasy draft event at the Hooters in Tampa on Hillsborough Avenue. Thanks to Bobby Pena, Patrick, all the managers there, Ty, Camilla, Dakota, the servers there, for everybody for coming out, your guests. It's going to be tough to make it even bigger than next year, which would mean we would add a fourth league because we had about 35% of the restaurant full on Sunday night. And challenges for me from a logistical standpoint, running three leagues at one time, playing in two. I'm going to talk about the league I'm not in, where basically I'm co-commissioner, or I am commissioner, but just to keep an eye on Ira Kaufman. I don't make any transactions for Ira, but this gives me commissioner's access. We'll talk about that draft, so perhaps you can see some patterns there that may prepare you better for your draft, either tonight or in the days leading up to the Thursday game between the Bears and the Packers. Remember, this is a year where the defending champ does not play in the Thursday game. If you're wondering why, it's part of the NFL's 100th anniversary celebration. So they're going with the two old storied franchises playing each other in Bears and Packers. And I think some of that also was to keep a little light off at the time when they were setting the schedule, what was uncertainty involving the majority owner of the New England Patriots for the issues that he had in Jupiter, Florida in the offseason. So before I get into reviewing, we call Ira Kaufman from JoeBucksFan.com. For those of you outside the greater Tampa Bay area, Ira Kaufman, longtime columnist in Tampa Bay, covering the Buccaneers and the NFL. Ira is considered the sage of Tampa Bay sports for his longevity, knows everybody, and he has one of the 32 most coveted positions in all of journalism. And that is, he is the one who will stand in front of the other 31 and basically offers testimony why members of the team he covers and has covered, the Buccaneers, should be voted into the Hall of Fame. There is one person for all 32 teams who does this. The players involved also obviously need to have a good relationship, certainly doesn't hurt, with that particular person, because it's that person, not the player, it's that person who presents that player and makes the argument for that player to the other 31 to get them Hall of Fame consideration. And Ira is responsible for that in Tampa Bay. So we call Ira's league annually the Hall of Fame Fantasy League, or HFFL. I mentioned a little bit on the previous fantasy football podcast how Ira took both risks on RB1s in taking Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon. Now, did he take Elliott in the first round? Yes, he took him at number 6. And again, the draft for this was a week removed. So before there was any news, as there's been in the last 24 hours, that talks have intensified with the Cowboys trying to get Ezekiel Elliott signed and in whether he would be. Look, if they get him signed by, I'd say if they get him signed by Wednesday, he'll be in uniform, and I would expect that he could be on the active roster come Sunday at roughly, 3:15 local time in Arlington, Texas, even if Tony Pollard is given the start. Dallas will treat this probably on a day-to-day basis, but writing off Elliott to not play at all in week one, I think, is one of those where that's the expectation. But depending on when Elliott gets in, Dallas isn't going to sit him just for the sake of sitting him. Now, if they feel it's a risk to play him because he hasn't been in camp, or they feel, you know, he hasn't taken any hits, or I know there's a new offensive coordinator, but it's a coordinator who was part of the coaching staff last year. I don't think Dallas is just going to automatically make him inactive if they actually get him to sign a contract at some point early to mid part of the week. If nothing else, having him on the active roster and using him for a handful of plays will spook the Giants and will throw them off. Because at this point, I'm sure the Giants are saying they're preparing for Ezekiel Elliott, but I doubt that's their focus right now based on the fact that Elliott hasn't been in camp. Nevertheless, from a fantasy standpoint, it has still been and continues to be a risk to take Elliott, who has been going in ADP of most mock drafts anywhere from, let's broaden it, I think anywhere from four overall to say 7 or 8 overall, which is where Ira took him with the 7th pick in the first round. Then Ira did take Melvin Gordon, but he got Melvin Gordon in the 7th round. And one of the things that I've said for years, and I gave you an illustration of this when I took Ezekiel Elliott when he was facing a possible 6-game suspension in 2017, and I took him in the 3rd round, I already had 2 other running backs in front of him. So if Zeke didn't play week 1, no big deal. I have already 2 running backs in front of you that I plan to play anyway. So Ira taking Gordon, considering he already had, well, he got Marlon Mack in the 5th round, but everything else was non-running back. So as of right now, going into his week 1 game, which is against Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, and already Sean has been talking up how he wants to defeat Ira in this league. As of right now, Ira would be starting his 5th round pick Marlon Mack as his RB1, and Jordan Howard, who he got in the 8th round, who really is at this point considered an afterthought behind Miles Sanders in Philadelphia. And those are Ira's only options at the running back position. So he's not in a good position in week 1 because he took the risk on both guys. Reviewing that draft, I'll go ahead and review that draft, and then we'll talk about some of the news in the last 24, 48 hours as it relates to fantasy impact on Kansas City, Houston, and Buffalo. So from the Hall of Fame Football League, the first round went Barkley, Kamara, McCaffrey. Hopkins is the first wide receiver, followed immediately by Devontae Adams. Ira then took Ezekiel Elliott as RB4. Chubb went as RB5 and 7th overall. Le'Veon Bell went as RB6, 8th overall. then Michael Thomas, wide receiver 3, followed by David Johnson at the end of the first round in that 10-team draft. The second round began with James Conner, then Todd Gurley. Gurley seems to be falling fast in overall ADP based on what I'm seeing on fantasyfootballcalculator.com. I basically say it's the most, for our fantasy community, it's the most talked about knee since Nancy Kerrigan, which is ironic because I don't know if you've noticed, Direct Auto, which used to have this random sort of, pardon the phrase, redneckish guy do their ads, now seems to be investing in controversial, failed name athletes. I have seen Johnny Manziel do ads for them, and I'm seeing Tanya Harding doing ads for them. So if Direct Auto got that idea from me comparing Todd Gurley's knee to Nancy Kerrigan's knee based on the fact that Tanya Harding basically was involved with the hit on Nancy Kerrigan, to Direct Auto, you're welcome. And if you'd like to throw some more money this way, we'll be happy to have you sponsor future episodes of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Joe Mixon went after Gurley in our draft on the wraparound in the second round. Then Mike Evans, Julio Jones. Mike Evans has no business going in front of Julio Jones. Ira got a bargain in Julio Jones at what, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? Oh, I'm sorry, Ira was picking 6th, not 7th. So Ira got Julio Jones at 15 behind Mike Evans. Dalvin Cook has been rising in ADP based on mock drafts via Fantasy Football Calculator. Bobby getting Dalvin Cook 16th seems like very good value there. Then Devontae Freeman, who just can't stay on the field for the otherwise fantasy football Falcons. Juju Smith-Schuster, 18th. Tyreek Hill, 19th. Followed immediately by Pat Mahomes. I would actually imagine in some leagues out there, granted, it looks like Hill is the first to go, and he's been elevated almost on the fringe, him and Juju, behind what I consider the top 5 wide receivers, which in no particular order to me, based on all my studies, have been Hopkins or Adams, 1-2-2-1, then Thomas Jones, 3-4-4-3, then Odell Beckham Jr. But Beckham Jr., I guess some people just don't like the diva side of this or the uncertainty, and I get that. So they're taking the more established Tyreek Hill as wide receiver 5 and Juju Smith-Schuster. So I have seen Hill and Juju going ahead of Odell Beckham Jr., as was the case in Ira's Hall of Fame Fantasy League. But I would imagine in some leagues it's not unthinkable. You know how you get the run on quarterbacks, the run on running backs early, the run on kickers late. You could just have a run on Chiefs. I mean, if anybody has this happen, please let me know where 4 Chiefs go in a row. Literally, back to back to back to back. If you experience that in your league, send me the evidence to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. This would mean Tyreek Hill falls a little bit from his elevated ADP. And then so when someone takes Hill, then someone takes Kelce, then someone says, well, I'll take Mahomes, and then now, maybe not now, someone takes Damian Williams. I could see 4 in a row, but 3 in a row more likely. I think 2 in a row is very common. It happened in one of my drafts last year where I was on deck waiting for my friend SD, longtime UPS driver, to make his pick. And I was trying to decide if I wanted Tyreek Hill, who I had in 2017 and was very happy, especially with the opportunity to get additional points for touchdowns in the return game, or I would take Travis Kelce this time. Well, SD took Tyreek Hill, making my decision easier, so I just took Travis Kelce. So there were 2 Chiefs going back-to-back. I would imagine that's happening also this year, where 2 Chiefs are going back-to-back. But if you have where 3 Chiefs go in a row, or 4, please let me know. And I'll give a shout out to your league as well. In the Ira Kaufman Hall of Fame Fantasy Football League, Beckham went first pick of the third round. To me, that's pretty good value there. Although he was slotted as the first wide receiver for Sean from Bill Curry Ford, because Sean had taken Mahomes. So Beckham is his wide receiver one, and I think that's great value. Then Damian Williams went second pick of the third round. We're going to talk about him in a moment, followed by Aaron Jones, Kerryon Johnson, Leonard Fournette, Travis Kelce. That's pretty low for Kelce, although keep in mind that in my leagues, you click the box wide receiver slash tight end flex. It doesn't necessarily devalue Travis Kelce, because Kelce can put up numbers, especially in that Chiefs offense, in line with other big-time wide receiver ones. It just means the tight end isn't mandatory. Baker Mayfield followed Kelce, followed by Antonio Brown, followed by Chris Carson, and then Keenan Allen. Fourth round, hang on, I have to adjust the sheet, was, let's see. Adam Thielen was the first pick of the fourth round, followed by Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, Melvin Ingram, Tyler Lockett, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Boyd, Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson in the fourth round. His value may go up based on the moves that the Texans made and the fact that Andrew Luck now is not on the Colts, which they seem to go hand in hand. Houston basically feels, hey, no Andrew Luck in the division. So with all due respect to Jacksonville and Tennessee, let's push the chips in even more this year and see if we can make a run at being a Super Bowl contender. Jacobs, the last pick of the fourth round. First pick of the fifth round, Chris Godwin, followed by Ridley. Sony Michel, third pick of the fifth round in a 10-team league. That is very low and terrific value for Michael, who made that pick. Nice job, Michael. Robert Woods went fourth in the fifth round, then George Kittle. Marlon Mack, there's Ira, Alshon Jeffrey, Cooper Kupp, A.J. Green, and David Montgomery of the Bears. Last round we'll review here. Sixth round, T.Y. Hilton, Julian Edelman, Matt Ryan, Tevin Coleman, Aaron Rodgers, D.J. Moore, Mike Williams, Duke Johnson, O.J. Howard, Darius Geis, and just throw this in because he's the third tight end of the perceived big three. I still think he's closer to Kelce than Kittle is close to him, and that Zach Ertz went to Sean of Bill Curry Ford with the first pick of the seventh round. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the transactions of the last 48 hours and how it impacts fantasy football. First, let's talk about Houston. Since I brought them up, based on all the moves Houston has made, Davion Clowney is gone to Seattle. Does that elevate Seahawks DST? Yes, it does, because that adds another guy who can get sacks and create havoc playing in Seattle. So, yeah, for what it's worth, I don't have DST in most of my leagues anymore because it's the most random component and the toughest one to root for in fantasy football. But sure, Clowney elevates the Seahawks DST. So the Texans subtract him, but they add Kenny Stills, Laremy Tunsil, Carlos Hyde. Okay. And they've already added Duke Johnson. So just a couple weeks ago, you know, Lamar Miller was RB1 in Houston, and prior to that, they cut Dante Foreman, furthering my theory that other than running backs from Oklahoma, really the last 12-plus years, no Big 12 back seems to do squat in the NFL, which is why I'm cynical on Montgomery coming out of Iowa State. If you have Deshaun Watson's value is now elevated, I don't think Carlos Hyde devalues Duke Johnson yet. Hyde went from San Francisco to Cleveland, to Jacksonville, and I mean, he disappeared in Jacksonville. Now, granted, that was a team that quit on Blake Bortles. I've talked about teams that have quit, that quit last year. Green Bay quit on Mike McCarthy. McCarthy is gone. Jacksonville quit on Blake Bortles. Bortles is gone. Carolina quit and nothing changed, which is why I worry about the Carolina Panthers overall, but I don't worry about Christian McCaffrey from a fantasy standpoint. So I would feel good, as I do from one of my leagues where I drafted Deshaun Watson. I didn't plan to take a quarterback that early, but just he was the value at that pick in the fifth round. And then I started the run on quarterbacks like Seth Kushner of 102.5 The Bone took Breeze after me. We talked about that on the previous Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast. So adding Kenny Stills, and I just think overall the moves the Texans are making elevates the value of Deshaun Watson. He's now got another big-time established tackle blocking for him. And Stills gives him another target. I think Stills does impact the value of Will Fuller and Kiki Kuti. I don't think Kenny Stills impacts the value of DeAndre Hopkins. All right, from the Kansas City standpoint, I've been saying all along, be careful on overvaluing Damian Williams, because I think most of you aren't drafting Damian Williams. You are drafting the running back position with Patrick Mahomes. And Kansas City may be treating that just as a next man up position ever since they cut Kareem Hunt. That it wasn't so much Damian Williams is the guy. It's like, no, he's the guy right now. So this could change by the second half of week one. And granted, McCoy is coming off a bad year in Buffalo, but there were a lot of bad years in Buffalo last year. It was a bad team that fell off significantly from the one that had made the playoffs the year before and lost a close game in the opening round to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Reed reunites with McCoy. Look, McCoy's a better running back than Damian Williams. So to me, it's not going to take much for McCoy to take snaps away from Williams. And you already had the threat that Darwin Thompson was going to get shots on the goal line. So based on the McCoy move, I would, if you haven't already, lay off of Damian Williams. I know I often say you want a piece of the big-time offenses, but if you're taking Damian Williams to be your RB1 or your RB2, you know, by week two, he may not be getting significant touches. As long as McCoy can play, and if they still feel Darwin Thompson is legit on the goal line, Damian Williams might fall quickly out of the role you thought he was in. So that's the danger I talked about, that he was just very replaceable in that number one role at running back on the Kansas City depth chart. So at this point, if you haven't had a fantasy draft, I wouldn't take Damian Williams. Now, if I'm playing, it's kind of one of those, you might want to go week to week the first couple weeks. It's tough to do in a season-long league, but in DraftKings it's a little easier, and we'll talk daily fantasy once the season starts. But that's until further notice. I mean, we don't have any sort of sample size to go on leading up to week one. Would you want Shady McCoy now? Yeah, I do. Don't overpay for him, but I think, yeah, Williams' value comes down. McCoy, who had very, very little value prior to being cut by the Buffalo Bills, McCoy now does have value. So if you want to throw a dart in the later rounds, once you already have three or four other running backs, and take McCoy thinking this might work out, absolutely, that's what you do. Speaking of Buffalo, so late in the podcast draft, 12-team standard, my second-to-last pick was Devin Singletary. And I remember sort of staring at that spot. McCoy was still there. Gore was still there. Singletary was still there. And I've just learned from years of playing fantasy football, when there's uncertainty, trend to the rookie, especially on a bad team, because there's a reason that they invested in him. Now, this isn't a Gurley Henderson situation, but it was pretty clear that Singletary was not only going to make the team, but there was plenty of talk McCoy might not make the team. Frank Gore, I love the guy, but Gore has to be on a pitch count. Singletary should receive more of the snaps on offense, and with McCoy gone, I would expect it might be 50-50 at the beginning, but Singletary is the more explosive option. Gore is the more ground and pound between the tackles, option for the Buffalo Bills, still behind what is considered one of the worst offensive lines in the National Football League. So I threw the dart at Singletary, and I'm now very happy that I did, because I think Singletary could, with McCoy out of the way, be someone who gives me some value as the year goes on. I'm not planning to start him week one, but I like knowing he's already on my bench, so someone can't go looking for him on waivers if he has a, 12 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown in week one for the Buffalo Bills. He's already on my roster. So Singletary's value, funny, there seemed to be very little value in any of the Bills' running backs before McCoy was cut. Now, McCoy has value because he's in Kansas City, and Singletary has value because McCoy is not in Buffalo. Also, one other note before we close this particular Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast. I told you years ago about Jerick McKinnon and what a bad move it was for the San Francisco 49ers based on what he did in Minnesota, to invest in him as their RB1. If you didn't notice, McKinnon already on IR and done for the entire 2019 season. So his total impact from John Lynch making that move, trying to make him the RB1 of this new offense behind Jimmy Garoppolo, has been zero for 2 years. Nothing. And you can say what you want about while he was injured, but Lynch should have seen that coming and made a bad choice, as he has made many bad choices, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I can make the case that no team has as little fantasy relevance going into the beginning of the season than the San Francisco 49ers. You would say, well, what about Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, I'll give you Josh Allen. I'd rather have Josh Allen just for the rushing yards, right? Running back, I'll take Devin Singletary over Tevin Coleman. I will. John Lynch is trying to do it again, taking a number two running back that once he played in the number one spot with Devontae Freeman out, wasn't as good, and making him his number one in San Francisco. Ultimately, it's going to fall back to Matt Breida again, and there's only so much Matt Breida can do. He's their version of Peyton Barber, who he'll have a good quarter or two, but he can't sustain it over four quarters or every game. And the wide receiver position does nothing for me in San Francisco. Granted, the Niners do have Kittle. But I think even off all the yardage that Kittle got last year, granted, much of that was from Nick Mullins. It was not from Jimmy Garoppolo. Too much uncertainty on a bad team with the Niners, with Kittle. He'd be the focus of defensive attention. So sure, Kittle is more attractive on the Niners from a fantasy standpoint than anyone on the Buffalo Bills. But again, we're barely talking about anybody on the 49ers beyond George Kittle. All right, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast comes at you roughly two, maybe three times a week. We'll get you another Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast before the Thursday night game. I'll also talk about a review of my Moneyball League, where I had the first overall pick and then assembled my team from undrafted free agents. I did it before the cuts. I said I would, because I think that's fair that I had to make my picks before rosters were set by NFL teams. We'll review all that on the next Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, with a big shout out to Sean Sullivan playing in one of our podcast leagues from the wonderful people at Bill Curry Ford. We'll talk to you next time. Please subscribe to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Send me all your draft and lineup questions to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And remember, every Thursday this season, I will be again appearing on VEASAN, which is available on SiriusXM, with the great Gil Alexander, my favorite Redskin fan, and there aren't many of them. Gil Alexander hosts a numbers game every weekday morning on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Gil Alexander is great to have me on, and we have confirmed virtually every Thursday morning going forward again this year, I will be on his show to talk fantasy football and make some other football observations as well that may affect the line or the total. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, the email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, or follow me on Facebook. It's Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram @ToddWright2019.